Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the day of your divine appointment. Know that you are in the right place at the right time, and I am so honored to be able to keep this appointment with you. Thank you so much for joining me in that. And of course, that's the wonderful Count Basie and the tune Little Darlin'. So, if I asked your friends and family if they thought you had any control issues, how many of you think they would say, oh no, they don't have any control issues at all? How many people think they might hear, well, there are a few issues they need to work on? Let me ask you another question. How many of you would say you have a lot of control over the things going on around you? And how many would say, I have very little control over anything going on outside me, right? I have a friend who says we can't control anything outside of our hula hoop. In other words, anything outside of ourselves. And there's that great line, man plans, God laughs. James 4, verses 13 through 15 says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city and spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. I've been thinking a lot about change and control recently. And when things are changing, that often increases our desire for control, right? When everything is changing, it's understandable we want to exert some control over things just to slow it down or to get a grip, because it's too scary when everything seems out of control. Obviously, we're in a time of major change for our country, and it's understandable that many of us feel we have no control over what's happening. Hopefully, we are all finding some things that we can do. As Mother Teresa said, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. But lately, I also find myself frequently repeating that famous prayer about control, the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Certainly in terms of changes for our country, this area of the country has been greatly affected in so many ways, not the least of which is the number of federal employees now out of work. And yours truly is one of them. Now, I have to say, I was very, very blessed. Between my age and the number of years I had in, I was in a position to take the offer they made us back in February, and I left my job several months ago. And just last week, I received my last paycheck. So there will be a special offering at the end of today's service. Just kidding, unless you're so inclined. But even though I was so grateful to be in the position I was in, the whole thing was still a big shock to my system because I was not planning on leaving just then. And not having a job has been a huge change for me. And don't get me wrong, I'm incredibly grateful and it has been very wonderful. But it's also been weird. I got my first part-time job as a teenager and I have worked ever since. So I'm in the midst of seeing what it is all going to look like. But the fact is, everything changes. As we know from Ecclesiastes, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Everything changes. The seasons change, our tastes change, our friends change, our jobs change, our living circumstances change. And heaven knows our physical appearance changes. Well, maybe for some of you. Actually, while I loved my mother beyond measure, it is still a shock to look in the mirror and see her staring back at me. And speaking of which, talking about things we can't control, one of the big things is other people and what other people say to us, right? I was in the grocery store the other day, and there were these signs up saying they now have digital coupons. So I take my phone, I'm trying to figure it out, and I can't do it. So I get in line, and when I get to the cashier, I said, would you mind helping me? I can't seem to do this. And she was very nice, and she had my phone, and then she went on to explain, you know, we have a lot of elderly customers in here who have trouble with technology. Yeah. Now, before I burst into tears and just left my cart there, I had to remember I have no control over what someone says to me. I do, though, have control over my reactions. And something that has served me well over the years when I remember it is restraint of tongue and pen. I have never gotten in trouble for what I did not say or the email I did not send. So I just smiled. But for the time being, I have changed grocery stores. It is sad but true that we have so little control over so much in our lives, which is a shame because if everyone just listened to us, things would go so much better, right? The fact is, many of us do have a few struggles with control, and we love to tell others what to do, when half the time we don't even take our own advice. And our friend Philomena had a great line for me a few months ago. I have the privilege of leading a sacred circle the last Tuesday of every month at the church, and we'll be here this Tuesday night at 6:30, right around the hall, if you're free. But the other week I was talking about something I had done and I should not have done. And Philomena said, really? You just did a whole sermon on that. She said, it sounds like a case of take my advice. I'm not using it. What's that old line? Do as I say, not as I do. Which my son Alex, of course, likes to point out to me. I was complaining to him recently about a woman I met a while ago who's always reaching out to me to do something. And she's a lovely person, but we are very different people, and I just don't feel a connection, and I don't want to go. And Alex, who is 24 now, said, now, that's interesting, because I remember when I was in seventh grade, and Benji Brown was always asking me to do something, and I didn't want to, and you got mad and said, he probably doesn't have any friends, and he's reaching out. You have to go. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was then. This is now. But the fact is, we are taught that true peace comes from surrendering control to God. We all know Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. But boy, that can be hard, right? Change is hard. Sometimes we just want things to stay the same. I love the line that says, when I'm in a rut, I decorate it. Change can be scary, and that's why continuing to work on my spiritual condition and my relationship with God is the most important thing I can do. I saw a T-shirt recently that said, pray first. Pray first. And I might add, and pray last, and pray all the time in between. Because I know it's too easy to go about my day and then try to remember to squeeze in some prayer time and squeeze in some God time. But how about this? How about trying to make our lives a prayer, knowing that things that bug us will be popping up all day long? But how much better would it be to be drenched in prayer and God's love and light than when the rains do come, we are ready with our spiritual umbrellas? Alex and I have both had more than our share of change lately, and since neither of us deal with change well, you can imagine there have been a few bumps. I mentioned that I left my job several months ago, and Alex left his a few weeks ago. There were a lot of reasons, including wanting to focus on graduate school, working on some other big projects he has going, and feeling without a doubt it was time to get out of the great state of Indiana, which I know is a wonderful connection for our musical director, but I might point out he left too. Yeah. You two can talk later. It's like, yeah. And as you can imagine, I'm beyond thrilled to have him home and have him here with me today. Thank you. But the move was not without its challenges. As many of you know, moving is stressful. And as we were working out the details, it wasn't always pretty. One day we were on the phone talking about the plan, and Alex said, well, his girlfriend would be there over Labor Day weekend to help, and then a friend would help him carry the heavy things out on Monday, and I was coming on Monday afternoon to spend a few days to help pack and then load the truck before we drove home. But he said the couch and the bed would be in the U-Haul by the time I got there, so one of us would have to sleep on the air mattress and one of us would be on the floor. One of us. Let's just say my thought was that the one of us who would be supporting the other for a few months would get the mattress, and the one who's young enough to actually get up off the floor would sleep there. P.S., I got a hotel room. It's important to control the things we can control. Psychologists tell us that one of the reasons change can be so hard is that it threatens our sense of safety and predictability. Because the human brain is wired to look for patterns and routines, because that gives us a sense of control. When things change, whether it's a move or a job or a loss, or even something good but unfamiliar, our nervous system interprets it as a kind of danger. We worry we won't be able to handle it. So fear of change is often a fear of losing the security of what we know. Even if it's bad, it's familiar. We know it. But in spite of this fear, God calls us to move forward anyway, because he is with us in the midst of change. God's message to us is always the same. Do not be afraid, for I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And we are reminded that change is not chaos when we put it in God's hands. Then it's transformation. We're also told that a good way to face change is to reframe it. Instead of focusing on what we might lose, we look at what we might gain. Instead of clinging to control, we lean into growth. And that's what we're told in Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change is not just something to survive. It's something that God uses to shape us into who we were meant to be. Proverbs 3, verse 5 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And that involves actively working on our spiritual condition, whether it's praying or meditating or reading spiritual literature or spending time in nature. Those are all good ways to hold everything together when it feels that everything is spinning out of control. And maintaining our connection with God takes work. It's like what I heard a minister on a podcast say recently. Sitting in a church all day does not make you a spiritual person any more than sitting in a garage all day makes you a car. We have to do the work. And I think that deep down, most of us know that control is an illusion. Trying to control anything outside of us is a fool's errand. And even on those infrequent occasions when it does work, we often come to regret it. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you told someone what to do, they did it, and it did not go well. I have to remember there are two categories of things outside of myself, my business and none of my business. But I think it's important to stress here that in terms of the greater good, and when there are injustices happening in the world and policies we don't agree with or people being harmed, it does not mean that we roll over and play dead. It does mean we let go of the illusion that we can force anyone to think or act or believe what we do. What we can do is decide how we're going to show up. We can raise our voices, vote, donate, volunteer, pray, march, serve, pray some more, and stand on the side of what we know is right. The Bible never calls us to control outcomes. It calls us to be faithful. Moses couldn't control Pharaoh. Esther could not control the king. And even Jesus did not choose to control who decided to follow him. They acted out of obedience. We do the work and trust God with the results. We work for justice not because we can control the future, but because faith requires us to act in alignment with God's call. And here's the paradox about control. Once we stop clinging to the need for control, we actually become freer and stronger. Trying to control others only leads to frustration, but acting from our deepest values gives us a sense of purpose. We fight for what is right, not because we can guarantee success, but because it is right. We listen to the God within us, we pray, we meditate, and then we move our feet. And that's very different than trying to tell someone else what to do. And everyone really does get to make their own choices, even the people we love. I have a cousin who's been telling me for a while now about a good friend of hers who's dating a guy who really does sound like a bad choice. There have been a lot of lies, a lot of broken promises. And my cousin asked me, how do I tell her nicely that she's dating a loser? And the answer, of course, is you don't. Giving other people our opinion, especially when they have not asked for it, is not a good idea. And sometimes it can come out a little harsher than we had planned. I have a friend who'd been looking to adopt a dog, and she wanted a dog maybe 4 or 5 years old. And then at the last minute, she decided to get a puppy. And when she told her sister that, her sister said, well, it won't be the first mistake you ever made. Thanks for sharing, right? I have to remember that it is not up to me to teach anyone else a lesson. The guy driving down the highway too fast and I want to beep my horn and wave at him to slow down, it's not going to work. I was reminded that the other day when a woman in the car in front of me was leaning out her window screaming at another driver, and I looked down and I saw her license plate and it said, peace. Do as I say, not as I do, right? The other thing you might notice is the more you tell someone what to do, oftentimes the more they resist. I have a brother-in-law who I love dearly, but for years he's been telling me I have to sell my house and get a condo. And he makes good points because the taxes are way too high, the repair bills are way too high, I don't need the space anymore, but I love my house and I'm not ready to sell it. So every time he says that, I get my back up, and I mentally add 2 years to how long I'm going to stay there. I think I'm up to the year 2050 by now. But I certainly understand the desire to tell someone else what to do. So I need to pray all the time, please release me from the desire to control. I need to let go and let God. And remember that saying, let go or be dragged. I need to let God. My way usually doesn't work. God's way usually does. There's a Buddhist quote that says, if you let go a little, you will have a little peace. If you let go a lot, you will have a lot of peace. The more we fight change, the more we suffer. I also think part of our issues with change and control might be that many of us have a built-in resistance to listening. Alex was saying to me a few months ago, you know, I'll tell you something, you'll say, oh, no, that's not right. And then somebody else will tell you the same thing, and you'll say, oh, that's exactly right. As an example, he said, just like when I went to church with you on Easter Sunday, and he said, here I've been telling you with everything going on in the country, eventually it's going to be okay, it's going to be all right. And I've been saying, no, it's not, it's awful, it's going to stay awful. And then Reverend Sylvia said, we need to have faith because eventually the pendulum always swings back and everything will be okay in the end. And Alex said, and you're clapping and cheering, saying amen. What can I tell you? It sounds different when Reverend Sylvia says it. Too often I fall into thinking that if I just plan carefully enough, manage people well enough, or worry long enough, I can make life behave. But as Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And of course, the best verse about letting go of control, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. That is not a call to be careless. It's a reminder that the future is not in our hands. And trying to wrestle it into submission only makes us tired and anxious. But it's not surprising that when someone is doing something we don't like, our first reaction is to try to get them to change. It's not surprising, but that doesn't make it right. And I was reminded of that recently on one of our Wednesday Divine Connection calls, because we were talking about Reverend Sylvia's recent message on forgiveness. And I was thinking about certain people in power, and I asked Reverend Sylvia, but isn't it okay to pray that people change? And Reverend Sylvia said, well, let me ask you this. Where does change have to start? And I thought, oh, I got this. And I said, it has to start within them. And she gently shook her head, and the others on the call said, no, it has to start with you. The change has to start within me. I wanted to ask for a second opinion, but decided against it. So I have to pray for my attitude and my understanding, to pray that my heart be changed and filled with forgiveness and light and love. Seek to understand rather than be understood. And Reverend Sylvia said, what I could do is see them surrounded in light and love, and surround me in my heart with light and love. I heard someone talking about not trying to control others, and he said, remember an acronym for love, L-O-V-E, let others voluntarily evolve. They really don't need our help. Some of you may know the famous podcaster and writer Mel Robbins, and she has a new book out that's all about not trying to change and control anyone else, and it's called The Let Them Theory. And it's a runaway bestseller, which just goes to show we are not unique if we are struggling with control issues. The whole book is about letting people do whatever they're doing, not trying to change anyone else, and instead just focusing on your own life. And she says that when we push someone to do something, they push back, just like me in the house. It's human nature. People need to feel in control of their own decisions. And you know how we like to feel in control? Well, so does everyone else. And when we try to tell someone else what to do, we take away their power and their agency. And in order to take our own peace and sanity back, we let them. We let them do whatever it is they're doing without trying to change them. But the second part of her theory is let me, because I'm the one who can take control of what I do and do not do. She writes, you are responsible for the energy you bring and how you show up. You are responsible for waking up every day and doing the work to make progress on what matters. Nobody owes you anything, but you owe yourself everything. And she closes by saying, let me take the risk. Let me write the book. Let me get in the best shape of my life. Let me apply for the dream job. Let me create a better life. Let me let go. Let God. And remember, there are many things we can control. We can control our attitude. Believe it or not, we really can. Our thoughts. We can control what we read, what we watch, how much we watch, how kind we are to others, how kind we are to ourselves, how many times we smile today, how many times we pray, how much time we spend worrying or judging others, versus how much time we spend sending others light and love, how often we take the time during the day to look at a flower or a bird or the sky and say, thank you, God, thank you. All that, our ability to do all those things, really is in our control. And let's close with a prayer. Dear God, you know how tightly I hold on to my plans, my fears, my need to control. Help me to loosen my grip, to let go with open hands and an open heart. Teach me to welcome change as a gift, not something to fear. Remind me that I do not have to figure it all out. I don't have to see the whole picture because you already do. When I don't know the outcome and I am worried, please, dear God, calm me with the reminder that you are in charge. Give me courage to step forward in trust, knowing that you hold the outcome and that your love will never fail me. I release my control into your care, dear God, and rest in the peace of your perfect plan. Amen. Thank you.